إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His servant and His messenger. This morning, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to briefly discuss a matter related to a da'wah. And I'd like to begin by quickly reading through a fatwa of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in which he was asked, if someone wants to invite another person to Islam, how should he begin with him and what should he say to him? And if somebody wants to invite somebody to Islam, how should he begin with this person and what should he say to him? The Shaykh, he answers, briefly, it is as though the questioner wants to invite someone to Allah, that is to Islam. So the da'wah, invitation or call to Allah, must be with hikmah, wisdom, and al-maw'idha, al-hasana, beautiful preaching or exhortation. Layyin, al-janib, gentleness, and avoiding a ta'anif, harshness, al-lawm, blaming, and a tawbikh, reprimand or rebuke. Meaning that on one side the da'wah should be concerned. A person who's giving da'wah should be concerned about their manner of giving da'wah. They should use wisdom, hikmah, and they should speak to the person, exhort them in a way that is good, that will attract them. They should be gentle, they should not be harsh, they should not blame the people, they should not rebuke the people. Likewise, one must begin with the most important matters first. And this is really the point that we want to emphasize in this topic, that one must begin with the most important matters first, and then that which is next in importance. That is, in the order of importance. This was what the Prophet ﷺ used to do when he sent his emissaries or ambassadors to different lands. He ﷺ would instruct them to begin with that which is of greater importance, and then that which is next in importance. So he ﷺ said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, when he sent him to Yemen, the first thing you invite them to should be shahada, the testimony of La ilaha illallah, that nothing has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. Then if they accept this, this is the most important matter, the shahadatain, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. If they accept this from you, inform them that Allah has made obligatory upon them five salawat, five prayers to be performed during every day and night. And if they accept this from you, then inform them that Allah has made obligatory upon them the sadaqah, charity, the obligatory charity, to be taken from their wealthy and distributed to their needy. This hadith reported in Al-Bukhari. So one must begin with that which is of greater importance, and then follow with that which is next in importance, and take advantage of the opportunities and the appropriate timing for one's da'wah, as well as the suitable place for inviting them. Take advantage of the opportunity when it presents itself, and pay attention to the appropriate or suitable timing and suitable place for inviting them. In some cases, the Shaykh ends with this, in some cases it might be appropriate that he, the da'i, invite the person to his own house and speak with him there. And sometimes it might be more appropriate that he, the da'i, go to the house of the person in order to call him to Islam at his own house. Next, it may be more suitable to invite him at a particular time, which is better than another time. In any case, the intelligent Muslim who has insight knows how to proceed and conduct himself in inviting the people to the truth. So, I mean, the purpose of mentioning this particular fatwa is to remind us of the importance of beginning with that which is most important and then following with that which is next in importance. And of course, the most important thing is the da'wah to at-tawheed. And this is what, unfortunately, many of the people involved in da'wah today have failed to comply with. That is, to concentrate and focus upon at-tawheed. So I'd like to read from two surahs of the Quran this morning, the tafsir from Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, that deal with the matter of tawheed. The first of them is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the people who claim that they don't believe that there is a creator. Now we know that most of the people that we come in contact with believe in some kind of way that there is a creator. They believe that there is a God. But their concept of God, their concept of the creator is distorted, twisted and corrupted. So mostly we are dealing with, you know, people like this, Christians or Hindus or Buddhists or other kinds of people who acknowledge that there's a creator, but their concept is corrupted. However, we want to first start with, yani, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the people who claim they don't believe there's a creator. So, in Surah 2, At-Tur, 52nd Surah, and I think it's, I don't remember the number of the ayat, these ayat are not numbered here. Let's see, it's like, I don't know, we can go back and check. They're not numbered. Tayyip. So it's 35. Now, 52nd Surah, 35th Ayat. So in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yani addressing people who claim they don't believe in anything, he gives this situation. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Yani just a few words. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the people who claim that they don't believe there is a creator. He says to them, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. Yani, have they been created by nothing? Yani, have they been created from nothing? Meaning, they don't have any creator. They were created by nothing. Nothing created them. Am humul khalikun? Or are they themselves creators? Yani, were they created from nothing, by nothing? Or did they create themselves? Now, these are two choices that he gives to them. If they say there's no creator, then there's no other option. Then either they were created by nothing, or they created themselves. They claim there's no creator. They created themselves, or they were created by nothing. Not by a creator, by nothing. So the Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, he says, هذا استدلال عليهم بأمر لا يمكنهم فيه إلا التسليم للحق أو الخروج عن موجب العقل والدين. That this is a means of istidlal, yani it is istidlal, and using this argument as a proof against them in a way that there is no, it is not possible for them except to submit to the truth or to go to be outside of that which is necessitated by both the intellect and the deen. And either they submit to the truth, or they will be outside of that which is necessitated, both by deen and both and as well by intellect. And the clarification of this is that these people denied the tawheed of Allah, And likewise, they belied his messenger. Yani they called the messenger a liar. They said he was lying in what he claimed. They denied the tawheed of Allah, and they also belied his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this necessitates that they therefore deny that Allah created them. They deny that Allah created them. So in response to this, Allah argues with them. Then if He didn't create them, then did they create themselves, or were they created by nothing? And it has already been established by both the intellect, the aql, along with the shara, yani that which came in the sharia, that which Allah revealed to the people. It has already been established by both the intellect and the sharia that the possibilities here of how people came into existence are not outside of one of three possibilities. And that's what this ayat addresses. One, either they were created min ghayri shay'in, meaning la khaliqa khalaqahum, yani that there was no creator that created them. Bal wujidu min ghayri ijad wala mujid, yani there was no creator, rather they came into existence without any process of creation and without anyone to bring them into existence. Without any process of creation and without anyone to bring them into existence. This means that they were created by nothing. And this is yani absolutely impossible. The second option, if they were not created by nothing, then they were themselves yani the creators of their own selves. And this is also impossible, because you cannot imagine, it is not imaginable that they could have brought themselves into existence. Meaning that someone who does not exist, non-existent, brings itself into existence. How is that possible? It doesn't exist in the first place. So this is also impossible. So when these two possibilities, yani the possibility of them being created by nothing or creating them their own selves, when these two possibilities have been proven to be false, and the impossibility of these two options has been made clear, then it becomes obligatory. Yani the third option becomes obligatory to accept, and that is that Allah created them. Naam. So, yani when this third option yani becomes clear and it is necessitated that we have to accept this, then we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He is the ma'bud wahdahu. Yani He is the one who alone deserves to be worshipped. Yani He is the one who it is not permissible that the worship be given to other than Him. It is not correct or acceptable that worship be offered to anyone or anything other than Him, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what the Shaykh says concerning this, and this is a matter that one needs to reflect upon carefully and understand it thoroughly, because more and more today in this insane world, we find more and more people actually who have lost their minds claiming that there is no creator. So this is the argument that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives against these people who claim that there is no creator. After this, I want to mention also from Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 21 and 22. Ayah 21 and 22. And what follows is a continuing argument, but we're going to deal with these two ayats from Surah Al-Baqarah. Second Surah, Ayah 21 and 22, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّكُونَ. O people, worship your Rabb who created you and those before you, that you may attain at-taqwa, that you may become of the people who observe taqwa. And then in the following ayat, Allah says, yani explaining, yani who is the Rabb, yani worship, O people, worship your Rabb, the one who created you and those before you, that you may attain at-taqwa. He is the one who, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And he is the one who has made for you the earth as a firash, yani like a bed to lay upon, to rest upon the earth. And he has made a sama above you, the skies above you, as a roof or a canopy over your head. And he has sent down from the sama water, and he has brought forth by means of this water a thamarat, yani the fruits that came from the earth as a provision for you. All of these things that he has mentioned here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, is showing some of the important fundamental blessings and bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Rabb, that He provides for us as our Rabb, that He provides for us. Naam. He has made the earth as a resting place for us. He has made the sky above us as a roof over our heads. He has sent down water from the skies above us, and He has brought forth fruits as sustenance for us by means of this water. And then he ends by saying, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So therefore, if you know all of this, that he is the one who does all of this alone, and no one shares with him in providing all of these blessings and bounties and favors, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Therefore, do not make anything or anyone as a nid. Yani, don't make these things as andad, as equals. Yani, partners sharing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. While your condition is such that you know. What do you know? You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only Rabb, the only creator, the only provider, and so on. Therefore, He's the only one that deserves to be worshipped. So if you recognize and acknowledge these things, then do not make anything as an equal with Allah while you know better. Naam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in the end of the ayat is prohibiting us from making anything as a partner with him, while in the beginning of the ayat he is commanding us to worship him alone. Ya ayyuhan nas u'budu rabbakum. So in the beginning of the ayat Allah begins with commanding us to worship him alone, and in the end of the ayat he prohibits us from making anything as an equal or partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so the Shaykh in these two ayats, he brings a lot of good points. He starts by saying that this is a general command. Yani, the beginning of the ayah, Ya ayyuhan nas u'budu rabbakum. Yani, this is a general command. Likullin nas, for all people. He didn't say all you who believe, he said all people. Ya ayyuhan nas. So this is a general command. U'budu rabbakum, to worship your Rabb alone, to establish the Tawheed. This is a general command with a comprehensive matter, and that is al-ibadah, a comprehensive matter. It's very comprehensive. It's not a single matter, rather it is a comprehensive matter, al-ibadah. Naam. And that ibadah, it joins together, it collects within this command of the worship of Allah alone, it collects within it the command to observe, yani whatever Allah has, yani made obligatory upon us, and to avoid whatever He has prohibited us from. Yani within the command to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is, yani we are required within this to observe all of His commands and to avoid His prohibitions and to believe in that which He has informed us about, yani in the Quran, in that which He revealed. So He has commanded them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them, the people, with that which they were created for. And He has commanded the people with the very thing that He created them for, the purpose of their creation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place in the Quran, in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created jinn and men except to worship me. So here, in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins it by ordering all of humanity to worship Him alone. This is the very purpose for which we were created. Then He uses as a proof of the obligation of worshiping Him alone, He uses as a proof for this the fact that what? That He is the Rabb who has nourished you with all types of blessings and bounties. Yani, what the proof that he used, the argument that he used, is that he is the Rabb who has nourished you with all types of blessings and bounties and favors. From amongst those bounties and favors is that he has created you after you were non-existent. He brought you into existence. Now, what greater bounty than this? Now, you were non-existent, he brought you into existence. And then he didn't leave you like that. And he also created those who were before you, meaning not only you, he created all of humanity. And then he bestowed upon you his favors and bounties, those which are apparent and those which are not apparent. Yani, some of them you are conscious and aware of, you see, it's very clear, and others are not visible, they are not apparent, and a person has to reflect upon it to realize that there are so many other bounties and blessings and favors that Allah gives that are not apparent to most of the people. But he is the one who has given you all of them. Then he has made for you the earth as a resting place to settle upon it. He gave you a place as a home to rest in, yani the earth. And then, and you also benefit from the things that are built upon it, yani the structures and buildings that are upon the earth. And by farming the earth and tilling the land and traveling upon the earth from one place to another. And other than this, from the various types of benefits that you receive upon this earth. Then he has made the sky above you as a canopy or a roof above your head, above your resting place, your home on this earth. He has placed above you the sky, and he has put within it, he has deposited within the sky many benefits. Some of them are things that you need out of necessity, and some of them are things that are not necessities, but you're also in need of. And from amongst the things that Allah has placed in the sky that benefit the people are the sun, the moon, and the stars. And the Shaykh doesn't discuss here, but there are certainly many, many benefits that are known scientifically from the sun and the moon and the stars. And then he has revealed from the sky water. And as-sama here, wa anzala min as-sama, the Shaykh says, as-sama huwa kullu ma ala fawqaka. Yani, everything that is high above you is called the sky. Yani, as-sama, everything that is high above you is called as-sama. And here, the Shaykh says, the scholars of tafsir said the intended meaning of as-sama here, it is the clouds. What is intended here by as-sama? It means the clouds that are above you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِمَانِ. So he has sent down from the sama water, it means from the clouds. He has sent down from the clouds water. And he has brought forth with this water, by means of the water, he has brought forth الثمرات, yani grains, and the fruits of the palm tree, and other types of fruits and crops, and other than that, as a provision for you. Yani, that you be provided for, that you be fed and nourished, and that you live off of these things and find enjoyment in them. So all of this, he says, therefore, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Therefore, if these are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, He is the one who brought you into existence, and then He has provided you with all of these provisions and benefits and blessings and bounties. Therefore, do not set up anything or anyone as an equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, as an equal or anyone being similar to Him from the created beings. Making them as an equal to Allah, such that you worship them in the way that you worship Allah. Or that you love them in the way that you love Allah. And they are just like you. Yani, they are makhluqun, created beings. Marzuqun, being provided for by Allah, just like you are being provided for by Allah. And they are mudabbarun. Yani, they are being managed and controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as you are. They do not possess or own even that which is equal to the weight of an atom or a small ant in the heavens nor in the earth. All of this is talking about what? The created beings that have been created and that are being provided for and that are under the complete control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just as you are. So how can you worship that which is no different than you? It is created like you. It is provided for like you. It is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just as you are. And it doesn't own or possess anything in the heavens or in the earth, not even equal to the weight of an atom. And finally he says, and they are not able to benefit you, nor to harm you. And nothing in the creation is able to benefit you or harm you except by the permission of Allah. So do not make anything or anyone as an equal to Allah, وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, while you know this, while you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any shariq, any partner. He does not have any nadir, any equal. Not in al-khalq, nor in al-rizq, nor in al-tadbir, وَلَا فِي الْعِبَادَةِ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no equal, no partner, not in His creating, nor in His providing, nor in His control and regulating the affairs of the universe, nor in His worship. And He has no partner in any of those things, in the rububiyyah. Therefore, He has no partner in the worship that is His exclusive right alone as the Rabbul Alameen. So how is it that you worship along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other gods while you know all of this, while you know that He is the creator and He is the provider and He is the one who controls every affair? He said this is from the most amazing of affairs and the most foolish thing, stupid, shameful of the people to worship something other than Allah along with Allah while you know that they don't share with Allah at all in any of these affairs. Not the creation, nor the providing, nor the control of the affairs of the universe. And the Shaykh, he closes by saying, in this ayat, it has joined between the command to worship Allah alone and the prohibition of worshipping other than Him. Yani these two matters are brought together. The command to worship Allah alone, along with the prohibition of worshipping anything besides Him. And in addition to that, the clarification of a brilliant dalil or evidence for the obligation of worshipping Allah alone and the falsity of worshipping other than Him. Yani in these two ayats came both the command to worship Allah alone and the prohibition of worshipping other than Him, as well as the proof of the obligation of worshipping Him alone and the proof of the falsehood of worshipping anything besides Him. And this proof, this brilliant proof, it is the mention of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Walaykum as-salam. Yani this brilliant proof is the mention of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, which contains within it the reality that Allah is singled out with creation. He is the only creator. And with providing, and He is the only provider. And with at-tadbir, He is the only one who controls, regulates, and manages the affairs of the universe. This is what is understood from Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So if everyone acknowledges and agrees that he doesn't have any partner in this matter, yani in the creation and providing and controlling of the universe, then this becomes the clearest rational proof of the wahdaniyyah of al-Bari, the creator, that He is unique and alone in His right to be worshipped. And this is also the clearest rational proof of the falsehood of worshipping anything along with him. And finally, the Shaykh says, he goes back to the beginning of the ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّكُونَ. That all people worship your Rabb, the one who created you and those before you, that you may attain at taqwa. So the Shaykh goes back to the beginning of the ayah, and he talks about this point, yani the saying of Allah, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّكُونَ, that perhaps you will attain at taqwa. And he says, this has two possible meanings. The first possibility is that the meaning is, if you worship Allah alone, then you would have protected yourself, and you would have shielded yourself from His anger and from His punishment. And if you worship Allah alone, this would be the means through which you would have protected yourself, and you would have shielded yourself from the anger of Allah and His punishment. And this is because you would have, yani, you would have utilized and you would have taken the steps to do that which would repulse, which would push away the anger of Allah and His punishment. You would have taken the necessary steps to repulse His anger by what? By worshipping Him alone. You would have repulsed His punishment by worshipping Him alone. This is the first possible meaning, that whoever worships Allah alone, then they would have protected themselves from Allah's anger and from Allah's punishment. The second possible meaning is that if you worshipped Allah, then you would have become one of the muttaqeen. You would have become one of the people of taqwa, those who are described with having taqwa. If you worship Allah, you will become those people, one of those people who are described with a taqwa. This is the second meaning. Yani the first meaning, if you worship Allah, you would have protected yourself. Yani this would have become a shield for you to protect you from the anger of Allah and His punishment. And the second meaning is that, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّكُونَ, if you worship Allah alone, you will become one of the people of taqwa. Yani those who are described with having taqwa. And the Shaykh says that both of these meanings are correct. Both of them are correct. In fact, they are mutalaziman. Mutalaziman, they are inseparable. Yani these two meanings go together. For whoever performs the worship of Allah completely, perfectly, then this person will be of the people of taqwa. He will be from the muttaqeen. And whoever is from the muttaqeen, the people of taqwa, then he would have achieved salvation from the punishment of Allah and His anger. And this is where we will stop, inshallah, even though there's still some time, but the next ayat is quite lengthy. Naam. So, yeah, we'll stop here, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Any question or any comment? Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. I don't know too much about the Big Bang Theory, but it sounds very far-fetched. It sounds very far away. Yani, the creation didn't come into creation by an explosion. No, Allah created the creation. In any case, as I said, I don't know too much about the Big Bang Theory, so I don't want to defend it or attack it, but I will say that what I understand from Big Bang Theory, the people who claim this, claim that there's no creator. And that's far from what we are saying here. That's completely far away from what we're saying here. They're saying there's no creator. And we are saying that there is a creator. That nothing came by accident. Rather, Allah created everything. So that is very different. As far as the details of it, I don't know. But the essence of what they're saying, this theory was invented by Shaitan in order to turn the people away from the reality that there's a creator who created them, so that they won't worship the creator. Then they will worship Shaitan. No. Or something else. But in any case, Even scientifically, if there was some explosion that took place at some point, yani in history or whatever, I mean, that has nothing to do with there being a creator or not a creator. But these people, whatever took place scientifically, if they had some proof of it, and usually, actually, when you look at these scientists, Allah, they make some of the most astounding, ridiculous statements that you can, anyone can imagine. That any, you can't imagine an intelligent person could say this, let alone listen to it and believe it. They talk about something that happened 50 trillion years ago. Subhanallah. Yani, how can anybody even fix their mouth to say, 50 trillion years ago, this and that happened? Yani, come on, please, give me a break. This is pure nonsense. This is pure nonsense. They're talking about some explosion that took place how many billion or trillion years ago? Yani, what do they, how kind of knowledge? They don't even know what happened 50,000 years ago. 50,000 years ago. Yani, we know what happened 50,000 years before Allah created the heaven and the earth because Allah revealed it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't know anything. But they're talking about not thousands, they're talking about millions and trillions of years ago. They're talking about out in space, in some darkness, empty pocket or something, that's trillions of light years away. Yani, that would take their vehicles that they claim, their spaceships, it would take them, yani, trillions of light years to reach that place, and they're talking about what's happening there. And this is pure nonsense. So these scientific people, yani, they have lost their minds. They have lost their minds, really. And the people who listen to them are also retarded. Allahu musta'an. These scientists, I mean, a scientist that doesn't believe in Allah, he's insane, for real. How can a person not believe in Allah? How can a person be a scientist and know all of this, know about the things that are in the creation and the insects and animal life and all of this? How can a person know that and deny that there's a creator who created it? And how can a person say this just came into existence by itself? That's real, that's unbelievable, akhi. That's unbelievable. Anyway, so, yani, Allahu A'lam about, you know, the details of it, but, yani, basically they're saying there's no creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah 2, At-Tur, He is telling us clearly that you only have three options. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, if you reject that, then what you're saying is that you were created by nothing. That something that doesn't exist, it's non-existent, it created you. Or you, when you were non-existent, created yourself. I mean, this is, I mean, nobody, a sane person would not say that nothing created me, nor when I was nothing, I created myself. So there's no option left for them except to acknowledge that there's a creator. And any person who's in their right mind, when they hear this argument, it's just a couple of words, one small ayah in the Quran, khalas, the matter is finished, it's over. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, and in many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lot of places in the Quran, Allah used the proof, the clear rational proof. For whoever acknowledges that there is a creator who created everything, once they acknowledge this, that He is the creator, the one who gave life, who provides and protects, and who, yani, manages the affairs of the universe, once they acknowledge this, then the rational argument is, how can you acknowledge that there is one who created everything and who provides for it and controls everything, and yet you say that there's something that should be worshipped along with that one? Okay, so this is the argument, that rububiyyah, the acknowledgement that Allah is the only Rabb, logically requires of the person who acknowledges it to also acknowledge uluhiyyah, that only that one who is alone in creation, He's the only one who deserves to be worshipped. And this argument came in a lot of places in the Quran. This is one place where it came in the beginning of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. Any other question? Naam. Okay, so we will stop here. Allahumma musta'an. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.